John, the third chapter, verses 1 and following. Listen to these words. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said this to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. You do not receive our testimony. But if I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, for whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we continue this series on discovering Jesus, and this morning I'd like to look at the Son of Man and these two gospel passages. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man who was the only Protestant in a large neighborhood of Catholics, and every Friday during Lent, while they were eating cold fish, they could smell him grilling steaks in his backyard, and they couldn't hardly stand it, so they decided what they had to do was to convert the man to Catholicism. So they tried all they could, and finally he agreed, and so the neighborhood priest came over and sprinkled the man with water and said, You were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, but now you're a Catholic. The next year rolled around, and the first Friday of Lent, the neighbor smelled the same steaks grilling from his backyard, and they couldn't believe it, so they went over, saw him in his backyard, and he was leaned over the grill with a large steak on it, cooking it, and he sprinkled water over the steak and said, You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, but now you're a fish. I don't know if that actually works, but I don't know what Lent means to you. For some people, it's giving up something that's special, and some people, it's following rules. But I think the most important thing is that we take time to make it a journey to Calvary and sort of have a retreat in our lives and renew our spiritual lives. I think that's the most important thing about Lent and Easter. And so with that in mind, we turn to these two stories, which I think really give us two different responses to Jesus. And the first is this story of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, we're told, is a religious leader. He's not certain about Christ, and we're told that he comes to Jesus at night. Now, we can presume that the reason he probably came to Jesus at night was because he didn't want his fellow religious leaders to see him coming to Jesus and be suspicious of him. In any case, he at least had the courage to come to Jesus at night, and he said this. He said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus turns that around with a very stark statement. He says, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, a lot of translations have their born again. And the literal translation is actually born from above. Now, either is okay. And I love the imagery of being born again. That's a beautiful imagery, and that term means a lot to a lot of people. I also love, and I think even better, I love the term born from above. That's just a beautiful term. And Nicodemus, though, he sort of sees this as a physical act. So he turns to Jesus and he says this, How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? But Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. Jesus said this, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said this to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. And we're told that Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And we don't know what happened to Nicodemus. He appears two other times in the Gospel of John. The second time that we see Nicodemus after he goes away from Jesus is when the religious leaders are trying Jesus, deciding his fate, and Nicodemus sort of stands up for Jesus. He said, "How can we decide his fate without asking him personally and cross-examining him, basically?" That didn't turn out as Nicodemus might have hoped, we're not sure. But the third time that we see Nicodemus is after Jesus' crucifixion, when he comes with Joseph of Arimathea and has to take the body of Jesus and prepare it for burial. Maybe Nicodemus slowly, step by step, was coming to faith in Christ. We don't know. It's a mystery to us. But this first encounter with Jesus, he went away. We don't know what happened. Jesus uses this term in this encounter, Son of Man. Now, that's an interesting term. It's used 88 times in the New Testament that Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. Now, that term actually comes from Daniel, the scripture passage that Pat read this morning. Let me just read it again. It's a scripture about the Messiah. Daniel said this, "I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." And so when Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, it's a direct reference that he is the Messiah. Now, when people that day thought about the Messiah, they thought about this kingdom that would have no end, and they basically thought that, well, maybe they will rule over everyone. And Jesus uses this term, and that's what they're thinking. But Jesus sort of transforms that as well. And Jesus uses this term. He said, "Unless the Son of Man is lifted up, like Moses lifted the serpent in the desert, he cannot draw all men to himself." Now, that was the most puzzling statement of all. That was a reference to back in Exodus where the people had rebelled against God, and poisonous snakes came into the campground, and people were bitten, and many of them died, and they were very, very sick. And so Moses went before God and put the case of the Israelites before the Lord. And the Lord told him to take a snake and to put it on a stick and to lift it up, and the people that looked to that snake on that stick would be healed. And that's exactly what happened. Now think of that. More than 1,000 years before Christ, there's this image that's an incredible image of the cross. Now we still use sort of an image of that in the medical profession. Asclepius's rod with the snake on it, believed to be part of this image, and today. The most incredible thing is that Jesus uses this image that Jesus must be lifted up in order to draw all men to him, not to bring physical healing, but to bring spiritual healing. And that, Jesus goes on to give that famous verse that we all know so well, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." We don't know what happened to Nicodemus, but this other story is dramatically different, the one that was portrayed on the video. That's in all the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you can look in Luke chapter 5 if you'd like, in verse 17 and following, and it's an incredible scene where Jesus is teaching to this group in this house that's apparently packed, and he's telling them about the kingdom of God, and in the middle of that, we're told that a number of friends, brought a friend who was paralyzed to Jesus on some kind of a blanket, and they couldn't make it into the house, but they weren't turned back. You know, friends are really important, and then they're there. And a lot of friends maybe that weren't as committed as this friend to seeing their friend being healed, maybe they would have turned back realizing that Jesus was too busy and the house was too full, but not this group of friends. They sort of turned it into four-wheel drive, and they decide they're not going to be turned back. They climb up on the roof. They cut a hole in the roof, and this day it was sort of thatched roof or sort of clay and sticks. So they cut a hole, and they lower their friend down to Jesus. Now, notice the response of Jesus. I mean, if most of us were teaching in a crowded room today and someone cut a hole in the roof and lowered someone, I mean, first of all, we'd be calling security, wouldn't we? I mean, if someone started sawing a hole in the roof here, we might be tempted to call the police, wouldn't we? And the same thing, and Jesus probably could have, in the middle of his teaching, he could have said, well, this person needs healing, and I don't have time for that. My teachings are too important. But Jesus doesn't do that. And Jesus uses this term, Son of Man, again in the closing of this, but in the transformation of his use of Son of Man, Jesus is infinitely approachable. So he's not put back by friends cutting a hole in the roof. He's not put back by a person who's paralyzed for years. And he looks at this man and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, It looks like maybe that people maybe thought originally that Jesus was confused. You know, I mean, here's the obvious need. The man is paralyzed. He wants to walk. He wants to walk so bad, and his friends want him to walk so bad that they've lowered him down. They cut a hole in the roof and lowered him down. And Jesus takes a moment and says, "Your sins are forgiven." But you know, the deep thing about that is that Jesus maybe knew that the deepest need that man had was a troubled heart that was separated from God. Jesus knew the deepest need of that person was that he needed forgiveness. We don't know what the man's response was, but maybe that was something that he was far more grateful for than even the healing that he was about to receive. And so we don't know his response, but we know the response of the Pharisee who was there, and the Pharisee said, "That's blasphemy." And the Pharisee was right. That was blasphemy, for anyone to forgive sins but God was blasphemy. But Jesus turns to the Pharisee and says, "Which is easier, to forgive sins or to heal?" And he reaches down and tells the man to stand up, and the man does, and he's healed. What an amazing story. And Jesus sees both means, that the man needs forgiveness and the man needs healing. And for us today to think about that for a moment, that all of us in some sense need to come to Jesus, be it at night or worship service or whatever. I think Jesus would tell us the same thing that he told Nicodemus, that we all need to be born from above. Or if you like the term better, born again, many people do, but I kind of like that term, born from above. But the more important thing is that we're born from the Spirit, from the water of the Holy Spirit that washes us and gives us this image of a clean heart and a new life and this new sort of creation in Christ and a powerful new beginning that's not just sort of glossed over, something new. And Jesus also sees that we need not just forgiveness, but we need healing. Now, physically, you may be fine today, but most of us have some kind of healing need. And sometimes God does a dramatic healing event. I've seen events like that. But sometimes God uses the miracle of modern medicine, which is an incredible miracle that God has blessed us with gifts and talents that we could research, and we can go to people who are dedicated, and nurses and doctors and medical staff can do incredible things, and they still need our prayers. But then we also come with the hurts that are deep in our hearts and lives. I mean, many of us need healing in relationships or healing of a broken heart, or maybe we've lost a loved one and our life needs to sort of bloom again with the hope of eternal life. There's lots of needs that you and I have. And Jesus knows whatever those needs are. If we come to the Lord and open our hearts and lives and present our lives to God. So today I want us to think about, if you were to put yourself in one of those two people's places, Nicodemus or this paralyzed man, which would you be? What would your response be? And maybe you're not physically paralyzed, but some of us are paralyzed by not knowing what to do or how to take the next step. But we don't know what happened to Nicodemus. I believe that Nicodemus eventually really allowed Jesus to change his life. We see it sort of taking a step at a time, and that's the way God sometimes changes our life, at one step at a time. But then there's also the response of this paralyzed man, and his friends bring him there. And here's something interesting about that. It says in all three Gospels, when Jesus saw the faith of his friends, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." It doesn't say that Jesus saw the faith of the paralyzed man. He said that when he saw the faith of his friends, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And maybe you're the friend of someone who needs something. God honors the faith of friends too. Friends are so incredible. But will you, like this paralyzed man, just come before Christ and acknowledge your need to find forgiveness and to receive healing, whatever kind of healing that is? I challenge us to be born again or born from above today. That's what Jesus would have for all of us. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we think of a beautiful spring day that we have today, we think of that as a symbol of new life so often. The ground that was frozen all winter long and thaws and flowers begin to blossom and bloom and trees begin to blossom as well. The earth brings forth so much color, and our lives too sometimes are frozen over by the hurts of the past and the needs of the present, worries and anxieties. Help us, Lord, to come before you today, to open our hearts and lives to you, and to realize that we need to be born from above, to be born again, to open our hearts and lives to your forgiving grace and have your Spirit wash over us and to cleanse us anew and to give us a new life. We pray, Lord, that today we would receive your forgiveness, your grace. We'd find forgiveness and that we'd also receive the healing for wounds from the past and hurts from the present, that all our life would be made new by you, our Lord and Savior. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.